Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Finance Diaries. My name is Stephanie, and I'm here to help teach you everything there is to know about personal finance. Everything that you didn't learn in school, that your friends and family don't seem to talk about, and is quite frankly treated like it's a secret. You could even say a secret diary. I'm here to unlock and open up that diary for you, and that is why I welcome you to another episode of the Finance Diaries podcast. Today, I want to talk about something that I get in my direct messages and in my coaching sessions all the time, and it's the issue of a budget not balancing. Or even if you're not budgeting, so if we even take a step back, for people that are saying that they don't really understand why they're in so much debt. So yes, of course, there are some people that have like shopping addictions, or they might have things that they are paying for that are beyond their means. I've coached and spoken to people that have had went from two incomes to a single income and are having trouble affording things. But what about when you just can't seem to get yourself in track? You can't start investing because you're just always in the red. Well, there are a lot of different things, and let me talk about the main ones that I've encountered. The first and most important one that I've encountered is that when someone is making their budget, that they didn't include the fact that they have to pay for taxes and deductions. So let's say, for example, you make $30,000 a year. Well, you don't actually make $30,000 a year because that's not what goes directly into your bank account. You'll get different deductions, whether it's for taxes or pension funds or whatever it is that you might be contributing for at your work or through your paycheck. So maybe it's not a salary, maybe it's just that you're working on contracts or you're getting random payments, and you're not, unless you're getting paid under the table, which is not legal, you will have some deductions on that. So that's the most important first step, is that when we make a budget and when we plan for our expenses, that we're only working with the amount of money that goes into our account. So yes, of course, you have some tax deductions at the end of the year, but you can't always count on those. And I don't think it wouldn't be a very good idea to base your budget on that. So what I tell people when I coach them, when I answer your direct messages, I always tell you, forget the salary that you have on paper. So if you're making $100,000 a year, no, you're not. If you're making $40,000 a year, no, you're not. You're making whatever the amount is after all of these deductions. And then when you have that amount, that's the amount you can start budgeting with. When we don't use this net amount or this net salary and we use our gross salary, well, we're always going to be messing up because we're not accounting for all these different deductions. So that is my first and most common issue with budgets. The next most common issue is that we are not sticking to it. And what we have to look at when we're not sticking to our budget is, what exactly is the reason why we're not sticking to our budget? Is it because we underestimated our expenses? Is it because we overestimated our salary? Is it because you are having trouble staying in line with your budget? These are all different things that you need to look into and to assess. Because again, if you overestimated your salary, that's point number one, that might be an issue there. If you underestimated your expenses, you need to be real and sit down and look at what your expenses actually are. If there's a shortcoming of some sort, you have to do one of two things. You have to either find a way to increase your income, or you have to find a way to decrease your expenses. Now, of course, this is something that you do need to put some work into. So for example, maybe you're noticing that your living costs are much too high, and you are stuck in a lease. Maybe you can't get out of it, or maybe now you went from being two people paying bills to just one person, whatever it could be. Well, you need to maybe get a bit creative and find ways to either reduce those expenses. So maybe renting out an extra bedroom or parking space or something like that, or finding ways to cut back on your expenses. So whether it's dining out less or cutting something from another category, that is something that you need to be able to figure out. Now, for people that have a spending habit, this is one that I talk about a lot. So spending money on things is never a problem. Spending money on things that we are not able to afford is a problem. So let's say, for example, you are making X amount of money. Let's say you're, $1,000 a month, which would be really low. But let's say you're working and you're making $1,000 a month. You have a part-time job and you're spending... You're buying a coffee for yourself every day. Well, that's not a problem. It depends what your other expenses are. If you're not able to control it and you're not able to pay your other bills, then that becomes a problem. If you're spending $5 a day on a coffee, and then you also somehow have to pay for your living expenses, you have to pay for, I don't know, childcare or something, then yes, of course, that's problematic that you're spending that money because you, quite frankly, can't really afford it. So that's something that we need to look into, is what is a problem and what is not a problem. So one of the people that we hear a lot about, so there are people really on both sides. People love him, people hate him. Maybe you know who I'm talking about, and his name is Dave Ramsey. So Dave Ramsey, I know someone that was personally helped by his coaching, because what he does is that he recommends that people that have spending habits do the envelope method. I haven't personally really looked into it that much myself, but I do know that it's significantly helped this person. So the principle here is kind of outdated because, like, who has cash anymore? But to make an envelope for each one of your budget categories and to put the physical cash into each one of these envelopes every single month. And yes, it's kind of bulky to carry around this like little thing, but especially for girls, like we have room in our purses. For boys, like you can, or if you even want to do it a modern way, not even just being a boy who doesn't, I mean, you could be a boy with a purse, but if you want to do it in a more modern way, you can have it in multiple different saving accounts in your bank account. So I don't know if you knew that, but you can have more than one savings account. So you don't necessarily have to do it cash. But the principle is that once you run out of money in that category, that's it. You're less next month. So that is one pretty aggressive but good way to address like overspending. I also have a podcast that you may have heard back in season one. And I've also talked about this quite a few times on my Instagram page, and I'm pretty sure that I also have a blog post on it. And this is the method that I've recommended to so many people, and they tell me that overnight their spending problems were solved. And it is the Stephanie Triple method, or you can even do double. I mean, honestly, either one's effective. So whenever you're about to spend money on something, something that is like within your category of what you would think you have a spending problem with. So maybe you have a spending problem with like online shopping. Maybe you have a spending problem with buying, I don't know, like excessive amounts of coffee every day or something, or you can't stop eating out at a restaurant or takeout. So whenever you're going to spend money on any one of those elements that you have a problem with, so again, circling back, it's not a problem if you can afford it. Okay, and you're still able to afford your other bills and you're not in the red, then that's not a problem. It's only a problem when you're putting yourself in a bad financial situation, spending money on this thing. So whatever it is that you're buying, you're going to take that same amount of money and you're going to put that into your investing account. But you're going to multiply it by 3. So let's say you want to spend $5 on a coffee. Well, you're going to put $15 into your investing account. So really that $5 coffee is costing you $20. So is it really worth $20? Do you still feel as you're drinking it that it's worth that amount? I'm not just hating on coffee right now. I love coffee. I think you guys know I'm a bit of a coffee addict, like a little bit concerning, but I don't have a spending problem on it. I definitely have a caffeine addiction problem, but I don't have a spending problem because I'm able to control how much I'm spending on it. So let's say you're going online shopping and that's your issue. And it's really easy because you don't even have to like interact with anyone. You don't have to try anything on. You just know your sizes. You check out of the cart. You don't even have to get up. And suddenly a few days later, there's a delivery at your door. Well, when that shopping cart is just, I don't know, just $200. Well, how does it feel that that shopping cart that's $200 is now $800 because you had to put $600 into your investing account? Doesn't that make it hit a little harder? Doesn't really matter if anything was on sale. That's a lot of money to be putting into your investing account. So this method has really been quite helpful to people that have had spending problems. I know a lot of people that have had a variety of spending problems on all kinds of things, from pets to coffee to shopping to like just about anything, like to gum. Ridiculous amounts of gum, which is kind of strange. But anyways. you can use any one of these methods. You can use like the Dave Ramsey envelope principle. You can use the Stephanie triple method. You can use just trying to be more strict with yourself on your budget. But whatever it is, you definitely do need to address problems, because just making more money will not address the issue. I remember back in university when we started learning about consulting, and this is what I do all the time, is that we need to address the problem and not just the symptoms. So like if you came into a doctor's office and you had a cough and they just gave you a cough drop, well, that would maybe make you stop coughing, but maybe you were coughing because you had pneumonia or something, and that's not going to fix that. So that's what we need to do here, is that if you're just going to make a bit more money, but you're still spending out of control, well, then you'll still be spending out of control and you'll still be in the red. So it's not really addressing the fact that you have a problem. Obviously, yes, you can see a therapist or discuss it with someone or read a self-help book and all those different things. But I think that the method of really being confronted with how much money we're spending by doing the envelope method or the Stephanie triple method is really going to be kind of eye-opening. Without the therapy part, but obviously everyone can always use some therapy. So those are two of the main issues that I've seen that come up with people that are having trouble with their debt and their spending and their budgeting. And it's very important, the next part is when we have, so I address kind of the changes in situations. So yes, sometimes we end up making more money. Sometimes we lose out on money because maybe there's a divorce, or you split up, or you change jobs and you're making less money. It's very important to be adjusting our budget. So let's say one of these situations were to happen. Obviously, you can't continue using the same principles that you were using before, which also ties into when you get more income. So I actually coached someone a few weeks ago, and this was something that they spoke about, was that they were really excited to be getting a promotion, but with this promotion, they really wanted to make sure that their lifestyle wasn't going to increase too much as a result of this. Like, just because they were making X extra percentage of money, it didn't mean that they needed to spend X extra percentage of money as well every month. So this is something that we call a net zero budget. It kind of sounds like very boring as a term, but what we want to do at the end in general of our budget is that the amount of money that we have once we've factored in all our items is equal to zero, so that everything has like its little job to do. And what happens when we either increase our income or decrease our income, well, this amount is no longer going to be zero. It might be a positive number if we've increased our salary, or be a negative number if we've somehow lost some of the salary. Maybe you accounted for a bonus that you didn't end up getting. It could be really anything. So it's very important that we constantly make these adjustments and that we look at how to always be getting to our net zero. So whether it means, oh, sorry, we have a little snoring dog in the background. So whether it means that you need to reduce something, put more towards something, always be doing these constant changes based on if your income is changing. If you're getting a bonus, don't factor the bonus into your income, because this is just a one-time thing. You're not going to be getting the same amount all the time. So it's very important that we keep adjusting and doing these iterations of our budget to make sure that they're always going to be the right amount of money, and then that really that zero figure at the end of the day and the net zero. It's possible as well that in the grand scheme of things, when we're trying to get our net zero budget, is that we tend to forget about emergency funds and having these sinking funds that could come up. So maybe, yes, your budget was perfectly balanced, everything was fine, you had your net zero, but then suddenly your car breaks down and you have a huge unexpected amount of money that you need to pay. Well, at that point, we need to circle back to the fundamentals of budgeting. And it's really important to have emergency funds and sinking funds in our different categories. These I've addressed in previous sessions. So if you want to go listen back to some older podcasts or look at some of my posts on my Instagram page, these are very important to have. So before we start investing, before we start doing anything, it's very important to have an emergency fund. It's the fundamentals of good personal finance, is that in the case of an emergency, you are prepared financially. And I think that we learned all about that in the last 2 years with the pandemic, is that sometimes really the unexpected happens. And we, if we aren't financially prepared for it, we're ready to have to make a lot of concessions that we don't want to make. Like, some people may have lost their home or their car or whatever it could be because they just didn't prepare adequately for it. So it's important to have emergency funds, and it's very important to have sinking funds for things where we know will come up. So for example, my car, I've discussed this before, I have a super old car. I love it. It's great. Gets me everywhere I need to go. But it does need some maintenance. And I mean, every car needs maintenance. So to have a sinking fund for my car is very advisable, because that way I'm never shocked by some random things that will come up along the way. Relating to this car, I don't just mean gas. I mean, yes, gas can definitely be in it, but I have its own category for that in my budget. I just mean more like when my brakes need to get changed, or if, I don't know, my battery died and I needed a new alternator, or the time that I needed to get a new compressor, all these different things. So those are really important parts to have to our budget. And even if you don't want to have like very specific sinking funds, like some people have them for their pets, for their car, for appliances, etc., you don't even have to do that. You can just have a general sinking fund that you just know that things come up, and to have that in there. So I kind of went in a bunch of different directions on this, but there are a lot of issues that can make our budget not balanced and that can make our finances messed up. But when we take the time to look into what is going on, analyze the situation, and pinpoint exactly where the problem is, then it's super easy to make a budget that works. Again, as I've said in pretty much every podcast I've ever recorded, it's very important that your budget works for you. It shouldn't feel like it's limiting you. It shouldn't feel like it's doing anything bad to you. It's simply to create structure and to be able to work towards your goals. Because if you're just blowing your budget every month, but you, I don't know, let's say you want to buy an income property, or you want to buy a house, or you want to get married, or you want to be able to afford to have kids. Well, it's going to be very hard to do that if before even doing any of these things, you're already in the red every month. So that is the main stuff that I'm giving you as a suggestion to do an analysis of your budget. And of course, as always, you can contact me for coaching if you need some more specific pointers on how to build an effective budget, how we can make your budget work perfectly for you, just to create structure and to work towards your goals. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Finance Diaries podcast. I love reading your comments and your suggestions and your ratings and everything that you do. And please do not forget to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.